Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, thank you, Tad. I was going to do that, but you did it ahead of me, so that's all right. I had two uncles, World War II, and my wife's sister's husband. In fact, I did his funeral, about 5 years ago now. He was a Korean veteran. He was in the Chaikom prison camp for 36 months. And I spent 3 years in Uncle Sam's army, spent 22 months in Taipei, Taiwan, and it's not any fun whenever. In fact, I left the U.S. in October, hit Taiwan in the 1st of November, and then for 60 days I was out on the island of Komoi, right up against Red China, working with what I did. And, it's not any fun to spend two Christmases and two Thanksgivings away from family and friends and so forth and so on. I thank God I didn't have to go to Nam, but I was close enough, and I worked in secret stuff, so I'll just leave it at that. But I thank God for all of you guys that serve. Amen. Somebody said, I told somebody one day, I said, well, if I ever had to organize a company to fight, I said, I got a church full of pilots and Marines and Navy and Air Force. I said, we could organize our own fighting squad here. But we do have a fighting squad that we fight the devil every day. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Jeremiah 29:11. We all look at this all the time. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And we're always talking about that. God has plans for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope. Plans for a great future. But you know, there's somebody else that has plans for you. The devil has plans for you too. And we need to realize that the devil is always, his plans is always to steal, kill, and destroy. Now 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Now the devil's always scheming to take advantage of you in some way, somehow. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight. See, a lot of people, they don't ever understand how the devil operates, so therefore they are not armed against him. You see, we need to be smart and resist the devil, and so we can continue to enjoy the blessings of God. Now, first of all, I want to talk about six things that the devil tries to do to you that will get you going down the wrong road. All right. Number one, he wants you not to believe what the Word of God says. And unbelief is probably one of his major tools that he likes to work with. See, unbelief will keep us from even looking into the promises of God. You know, we need to understand that the enemy, he brings people. He brings different people with new ideas on the scripture. And how does he do this? He brings it through the radio, through preachers on television that get you off of course. He brings it through different means. I know that in the 70s, a man by the name of Harold, Dr. Harold, he recognized that every denomination was writing history, and in fact, some of you that were in been to Rhema, you had that book when you were in school, All Things Are Possible. But he said nobody was writing the history of the charismatics, and that's when it was really big, going big, and so anybody was in that book, and I sat with him, and as he interviewed Dad for about 2 hours or so, and then in the book, any of you have that book? All Things Are Possible. I know Tad and them do here, and Bill and them, they had it in school. I know that. And he said something in there. He said, Kenneth Hagin is the only one that is still saying the same thing that he said when he come off a bed of affliction in 1934. That's what he said in that book. Is that not right, Tad? You read it in there. I see all of you shaking your head. You see, if we're not careful, we get to following people, and if they get off course, we'll get off course. You got to follow the Word. And Dad always said, stay with the Word. And the reason he never changed what he started teaching in the beginning is because it's the Word of God. And so if you ever noticed, how many of you ever heard my dad preach in person? How many of you now heard, keep y'all's hands up. How many of you didn't hear him in person, but you've heard him on tape or CDs and so forth? If you followed him very much, you'll find out that he never tried to come up with a new revelation. He always stayed right down the same track. The devil likes to get people, and he'll come to you. Oh, you, all right, you know that. You need more revelation. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's true. And somebody come to me one day and said, well, you always preaching about the same thing. I said, well, that's what the Bible is. That's the Bible. He said, well, we need more revelation. I said, you don't need any more revelation. You're not even walking in what you got. Now, that may be pretty tough, but if we stop to realize it, most of us are not walking in all of the revelation that's been given to us. Hello? What do we need more for if we can't even walk in what we got? See, he's always wanting to get you not believing. Of course, we know what Mark 11:23 says. Tell you the truth, anyone says this mountain be cast in the sea, you know, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he shall have whatsoever he says. It said, does not doubt in his heart. But, you know, we have to decide to believe God no matter what happens. Now, there's a lot of people talk about believing God, but when something happens, they start questioning whether they really believe God. Now, well, wait a minute, this didn't happen, man. I'm going to go on. I better go on right there. I'm getting myself in trouble. Number two, the thing, a plan that the devil has to get to you is to get you to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, you know, you say, well, I never heard nobody talking about it. Well, people need to understand that the devil has plans too, and if we're not privy to some of his plans, he can catch us in a trap. Okay, the devil, if he can get you to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit, he can steal the blessings of God from you. He can get you killed. God's promised that he will lead us into all truth. If you ever notice, the enemy gets just enough truth or Bible in it, and then he takes you off this direction. The devil knows the Bible. I mean, you go whenever Jesus was in temptation, the devil quoted the Bible to him. Hello, everybody looking at me funny tonight, but it's the truth. You see, many times the Holy Spirit will bring something to you. You say, oh, that's just me. Well, wait a minute. You better stop and check it. I mean, just the other night, we were going home from the office. We usually don't leave the office till 6:30, 7, and then we'll go eat somewhere. Sometimes we get out a little earlier, but a lot of times you'll go by, and especially now that it's dark, you'll see our lights on up in our office. Lynette says she gets more work done after everybody else leaves than she does because nobody interrupts her. But I'm in front of her, and we were going down the road, and she called me on the phone, and I answered my phone, and she said, "I'm not going on the freeway. You can go where you want to." Well, she said that. I immediately turned left and went another direction to go home. I mean, there's several different ways I can go to get to my house. All right. Now, did anything bad happen? No. But when we got home, I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I don't know. I just had this that I shouldn't get on the freeway. And I told you what I'm going to do, and you made your own choice." Well, if something tell her she shouldn't get on the freeway, I shouldn't either then. But you see, many times the Holy Spirit tries to lead us, and the enemy will say, "Oh, that's just you. Don't worry about that, you know." In fact, I know a pastor, a preacher, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. He was really a close friend of my dad's. And he had 3 major car wrecks. And I heard him talking to Dad one day, and he said, "You know, Brother Hagin," he said, "if I would have really listened to my spirit," this was after Dad had preached for him and had taught some on listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And in fact, Dad's got a great book on that out there on how to be led by the Spirit. It's a great book if you hadn't read it. How many of you read that book? Put your hand down. How many of you never read that book? Y'all need to read it. Anyway, he said, "You know, every one of those wrecks, as we were getting ready to leave, something seemed to impress me. Oh, won't you wait just a little bit before you leave?" And I did. And I said, "I'm in a hurry. I got to get there." They were going on trips. All 3 of them on trip. All 3 of them helped me out on the highway. And I just overrode that. The last one they had almost killed his wife, but she survived, thank God. But, you know, I remember going back, way back when I was about 5 years old, we had driven. Dad, he had left one church. He only pastored 3 churches that I remember, but he pastored that one church before I was born, and then he pastored Farmersville, Talco, Gregton, and Van, 4 churches. And in between those, he would travel as a traveling minister. Evangelist, they called him back in those days. And I remember we had driven, and he would drive sometimes out of the way to go by and pray with Mama Papa Goodwin. And if you've heard him talk about Mama Papa Goodwin, Dad did Papa's funeral, and I had the privilege of doing Mama Goodwin's funeral. I was sort of like a grandchild to him. But, and we had been there, and they had prayed together, and I don't know, us kids had played, you know. And I was in Greenville. It was in Greenville, Texas. And I remember we were walking out to get in. In fact, I was already in the car. And Dad was standing there talking at the car, and he said, "We can't leave just now." And he said, "Let's go back in the house." So we went back in the house. And after about 15 minutes, he said, "Okay, we can go now." And it's because the Holy Spirit. Well, we got out on the highway, and there was a huge fire, engulfed about, I don't know, 30 cars, and it was a gasoline tanker had turned over and exploded and got all these cars. And I never will forget this. I'm sitting, my sister's on the back seat, I'm sitting here on it was a trunk we had there between the seats, one of them army trunks, and I'd sit behind, right on it, right behind him. My mom's there, mom's over here, and sister's back here. And I heard him say to Mom, he said, "If we had left when we started to, we would have been right in the middle of that." I don't know how many times I've heard him say, "Oh, let's wait a while." And I never, I mean, you know, I got to where I didn't question it, you know. Sometimes in the beginning when I said, "Oh, let's go, I want to go, Dad," and he said no. And then I got older and I realized he was following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Now, Sometimes somebody said, well, did anything, when we didn't go on the freeway, did you hear about anything? No, I didn't hear about anything happening. But you know what? It's better to be safe than sorry. How many of you have ever had seeming, and it's an impression, sometimes it's not, it ain't no audible voice, just be an impression that you shouldn't do something. Now keep your hands up. How many of you have overrode that and had some things happen? Most of you kept your hands up. You know, that's what the enemy, that's a plan he has, to get us to not follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, another plan that he has for us to get us messed up is to despise the gifts that God has put within us. God has deposited gifts within every one of us. And the devil knows that he can defeat you if he can get you to say, oh, well, I'm insignificant. I can't contribute anything. You know, look at what they can do, and I can't do anything like that. You know, 1 Peter 4:10 says, and the NIV says, 1 Peter 4:10, I'll let you turn there. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, each of us, he said administering or serving would be another, God's in its various forms. God doesn't have a bunch of clones. He's got individuals with individual talents that should be doing something. But the enemy tries to get you, oh, my gift is insignificant. I mean, Okay, we had an individual one time that done that, what do you call that, that used to write in the calligraphy, is that what you call that?
Calligraphy.
Yeah. And when we would do the baby's Bibles, and I would want to give one of the faith Bibles to somebody, I'd have them write in it because it's really stuff. Well, somebody says, oh, that's not it. Hey, that's a talent. And we needed somebody to write in those Bibles. See, it might look insignificant to somebody else, but to me, it was significant. To God, it was significant. Hey, don't despise whatever God kind of talent God has given you, okay? Let me go on. Number four is he tries to get us listening to ungodly advice, ungodly people's advice. See, ungodly people don't have the same values we do. They don't think like we do. Hello? See, if the devil can get you to listen to a person that doesn't think or act like you do, he can get you going down the wrong road. They give you wrong advice. You know, most of the time, if he can't get to you directly, he's seen somebody cross your path. You know, let's be careful about who we receive advice from. Make sure that advice lines up with the Bible. Hello? Psalms 1:1-2. Y'all all know what it says, but I'll let y'all turn there. Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinner, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's dangerous to try to take too much advice from somebody that doesn't understand the Word of God. Now, let me go into this thing a little further here. There's a man used to be on our board of directors for the Rhema. He was He's a builder and a developer. And he learned early from sitting under Dad's ministry to listen to the voice of God. He was just working in a bank as a teller. And he got to the point that he could go to the bank and get without any collateral, he could get a $10 million signature loan. But he started out with nothing. He saw a piece of property that the bank had. And he bought it from the bank. You know, they had taken the property back over, I believe was the story. I don't know exactly the whole story there. But I know he got this piece of property. Everybody said, what do you want to buy that for? That's a piece of property is not any value. You're going to lose money. But you know what? It wasn't but a little while till they come through and put a freeway and put it. Exit there, and he sold one lot off of that property for what the whole thing cost. Now all the other lots that he sold, that's all profit. But you see, he followed the direction of the Holy. He prayed about it, the Holy Spirit. Everybody else told him no. They told him you're doing the dumb, and that started him in the development business. He'd done that many times. In fact, he told me, he said, I never go in and buy a piece of property to develop that I first don't talk to God about it. Now, I want to tell you something else. That same individual then, somebody talked him in, going back to the previous one, somebody talked him in to trying to get into another business. And he about lost his shirt. And he got to praying about it. And God told him, get back into what I anointed you to do. Now, it wasn't a preaching. It was business. Isn't that so, hon? And he came right back up and came up to the top. In fact, one place he developed the whole city. He took me up in a four-wheel drive Jeep one day. And we went up on this big hill deal, you know. And he said, and you could see out and see, I mean, it had a great view and everything. He said, I'm going to develop this. And he said, the Lord told me how to do it. And so what he did was he put in all of the streets and all of the sewers and all that kind of stuff you got to do ahead of time, because it was nothing, just a bare piece of hill out here. Then the Lord told me, he said, okay, you sell off to other builders enough to pay for the land and putting this in. That's what he did. Now, all the other things that he built, the apartments and all the other stuff that he built, that was all gravy for himself. But people said, man, I wouldn't buy that. That's a worthless piece of property. Now, what am I trying to say to you? Why am I telling you all that? Hey, we got to listen to the Spirit. The enemy will try to get you listening to the wrong people. Anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Anybody getting anything out of this? All right, I got about 10 minutes. I better hurry up. Now, another plan he has for you is to try to get you to forsake your own company. He'll cause people to say things. He'll cause things to happen to get you away from your company. Remember when Peter and John got in trouble, they went back to their company in Acts 4:23. On their release, they were in prison for preaching. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders said to them. My dad always used to say, son, stay with your own company. Stay with your own company. Then another thing another plan the enemy has to try to derail you and to steal and kill and rob from you and destroy you is to get you out of praying. Mess up your prayer life. How does he do that? All kinds of emergencies come along when it's time to pray.
the phone rings. Aunt Susie drops by, rings the doorbell. All kinds of things happen to get people from praying. See, he tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints. Hello. All right. That's about six things there that the devil has planned for you to stop you. Now, the enemy tries to take you some places to get you out of the will of God and get you messed up. First of all, he tries to take you to a place of fear. Get you in fear. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. Come on, be honest. See, but there's where we got to go to 1 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You may have to quote that a bunch. The enemy will come in with fear. He tries to come into me with fear on different things, you know. Then he tries to get you to a place of fatigue. Oh, you're too tired to go to church tonight. You're too tired to go and serve in the nursery. You're too tired to go and do this and go and do that. See, but Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. There's no reward for people that are not faithful. Then he will try to get you in the place of unforgiveness. See, unforgiveness will rob you of the blessings of God. Some people say, well, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. No, you haven't forgiven if you don't forget it. You got to learn to forgive. Actually, you know, everybody likes Mark 11:23-24, and they stop right there. Drop down to the next verse, Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. I didn't say it, it's what the Bible said. Read it. Forgive. The devil tries to get us in a place of unforgiveness. Somebody will offend us, or somebody offends one of our friends. Go get my book out there, How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. I taught 5-6 lessons in this church on that. How many of you here when I taught that? And the Lord said to me when I was doing it, he said, one of the greatest things that people have trouble with is they take up somebody else's offense. They're not even the one that got offended. It's their friend that got offended. Their friend gets over it and they're still there in trouble with it. Hello, come on. And then he tries to get you in a place of worry and care. I mean, have you ever noticed the enemy tries to get you worrying over things that hadn't even happened yet? He starts bringing all this stuff to you. Oh, this could happen. This could happen. Oh, blah, blah, blah. How many know what I'm talking about? And you see, if he can do that, he can get you so wound up with worry that you're no longer functioning like you should as a child of God. See, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything be by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, I just talked to you a few moments here about realizing that Satan has a plan. God has a plan to prosper you. Satan has a plan to destroy you, to kill you. Hello? Now, I've told you all this because I want you to realize that the devil has a plan. And everybody gets excited about God having a plan, and yeah, we should, but we also should realize that the enemy has a plan, and we need to be ready to stand against him, because he has a plan to destroy us. Hello? See, God's plan is to prosper us. The devil's plan is to make us broke. God's plan is to give us hope. The devil's plan is to take all hope away from us. God's plan is to give us a great future. The devil's plan is to destroy us with no future. Now, I believe that if we're spiritual and smart enough to understand the Word of God, that we can resist the devil and his plan, and then we can take a hold of God's plan and begin to believe him and move forward with him and leave the devil sitting back here all defeated and destroyed, because that's what he is. He's trying to destroy us. It's up to you to destroy him with God's plan. Father, I just talked to these people for a few minutes tonight, trying to get them to realize that you have a great plan for them, but the enemy has a plan to destroy them. And Father, help us all to understand this and to move out and to be strong in the Spirit of God. Everybody stand up. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? I know it's a little different approach, but the things I said are really true. Because the enemy has a plan for you, a plan to destroy you. And he's going to use those tactics. That's the main tactics he uses to destroy you with. So be ready to stand against him. Amen. Well, hey, if you happen to need prayer for anything in this place tonight, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need If you just need prayer for anything, healing or anything else, the people are right here on each side of us, and the ladies here, the men over here, as we dismiss, come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Hey, Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to that place to get that special gift that we have for them right now. We're so glad you're here. If you happen to be looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join our family. We're having a great time serving God, unlimited with God's blessings from the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember all the announcements. Get involved in something around here. And once again, let me say thank you, veterans, for your service. God bless you. Hey, we'll see you Sunday morning right here. Right here. I'll be doing the third part of joining God's dream team. So come believing, come expecting. If you need prayer for anything right now, come to the front. They'll pray with you. We'll see you Sunday. God bless.